Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do you know that my mom will still reference a bit you did on the zoo in 1986? She still thinks, because it was Raymond Burr, and I think Don didn't know that you wanted to do the bit, because the way it came off on the air is you literally went, and then you went with a piece of paper, you went, "It's Raymond Burr, I need to come in."
Right.
You were talking.
This is Raymond Burr. This is Raymond. This is a blast from the past.
Once upon a time, there lived a poor kid named Johnny.
Oh, no.
He was a true blue Baltimorean who had a natural ability to turn a buck. In the mid-1900s, when John was growing up, the country was fighting World War I, and
right.
The economy was lean. He got through the hard time selling shoestrings and gadgets. Just like Oscar, on the corner of Lexington and Park Avenue. John's nickname was Whitey. Whitey was an incredible...
Okay, and it goes on and on.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Last week, the guys gave me a day that I was able to take off, and I appreciated that. And when I came back, they said that they were having a discussion on something they wanted to follow up on, which was about sex dolls. So I put it on my show prep for a solid week, a sex doll follow-up.
Ooh.
And this is about a television show that uses soap operas that use sex dolls? Is that
what
it is?
Well, that was the start. But also, Mike, do you remember if I say to you the phrase private island beauties, do you remember that? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Because what if I throw in this clue?
That's the guy that brought the sex dolls into the studio.
Right, and it broke Oscar's back.
Remember? They were so realistic that...
Right.
You got
a back injury.
Yeah. Putting the doll on Rob's lap.
That's right, because this was before I had cured myself of being scared of wax figures, so it was like doubly creepy and upsetting. And so we had this whole thing in the studio with this guy that brought in these ultra-realistic sex dolls. But the reason we were talking about it is
they were fun.
The first soap opera to come back.
Fun as in surprisingly realistic.
Yeah.
In a gross way.
Nah, yeah. There's a craftsmanship to it. There is. You're just like, yeah, this is... If I was a lonely man and I had means.
Old style craftsmanship.
The thing that I remember most about it is the way the skin felt. It was really, really weird. Because it did have like a little bit of action against like the skin. Anyway.
We have a robot story or an AI story in News You May Not Need today. Which should be kind of interesting about that. That looks similar. Stay up late. Yes.
So the first soap opera to come back on an intermittent basis. And, you know, soap operas, as you know, they have a real fast turnaround. So they have to like tape the day before they air. Is CBS's The Bold and the Beautiful. And they're trying to figure out the best way they could do intimate scenes in these days of COVID-19. And what they did is they pulled out what was a sex doll or a realistic love doll that they had used in a previous season as a corpse. And they outfitted it to look like one of the female cast members, and they shot an intimate scene.
Little lingerie.
With the guy, so it looked like they were in bed together. And it was, as I believe the phrase was from the executive and the voice I used was,
surprisingly realistic. Very effective.
I would imagine if you shot it the right way, you could make anything look realistic, and you certainly aren't going to bring CGI into a soap opera.
Too expensive.
Although, you know what? I could be wrong about that. I could be wrong about that,
budgets would not allow. Mike, I think the reason why soap operas still are viable is because of the cost to produce is so cheap.
I have found myself watching old movies and wanting the days of CGI to go away. I liked it when they used real scenes where they really have to put the effort forward to not paint a movie. I think CGI, it can be absolutely brilliant, but also would go down if with film historians as one of the great cop-outs. Did you burp?
I did.
Did you just burp?
I did. What I didn't think that? It would be, it would be picked up.
Well, your mouth just went, it's almost like your lips moved. You went,
something settled.
Somebody isolate that.
Did you mute yourself when you did that?
No, because I thought it would be silent, and I think it was silent.
Yeah, I just saw it. You know when you see cartoons with their lips that go, it was almost like that. But I think CGI, by and large, is kind of a cop out when it's used to create like the entire town.
I think you know that CGI is like overly spiced food. If a food is like so hot you can't even eat it,
yeah, but
like,
we still love the food.
Yeah, you'll but you know what? It. It's better if it's used sparingly. That's when it's best.
Okay, but I think it depends on the subject matter. Like, it really,
Titanic would be an example of, I think, a pretty large scale use of CGI that kind of had to be done.
Right.
That's the way I would.
You can't build a boat and sink it. Right.
But I also think that I miss that. For example, Patton. With the fighter jets flying overhead.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Those are real fighter jets they use. That was kind of cool. You look at an old war movie, they did it that way. And it was kind of... Now, you can also look at them and they look absolutely jive. But it's...
Air Force One?
You know, yeah.
that's a terrible use of CGI.
How dare you, Mr. President?
But anyway, I think
get off my plane.
You couldn't use CGI in a soap opera because of expense and also because of the speed they have to turn the product around. So they use this
surprisingly effective
love doll on The Bold and the Beautiful, and they said it's okay, but the problem is they only had the one doll in the prop closet that they used as a corpse. So the thought is buy more or share. And I think sharing is almost just as bad in this age of coronavirus. So Oscar
you could probably sanitize them. Right?
Yeah, I suppose, but still, wouldn't it be more effective?
They're meant to be sanitized.
They're made to be cleaned, if you know what I mean, ew.
I mean... A power washer.
Or so Oscar and I mentioned that this could be a boon for the sex doll industry, especially as all the soap operas come back. And I couldn't remember the name of the guy from Private Island Beauties, but I didn't need to because about 45 minutes after the show, Patrick sent me an email.
Oh, I love
it. And so this is what's going on with Patrick, the gentleman who brought in the sex dolls, including the one that harmed Oscar's back, which was, as I recall... A smaller model meant for travel.
I want to be clear. It's not her fault. I'm in bad shape. Any man who probably has any type of muscle tone on his body could pick up this doll, no problem. I just didn't at the time.
You injured the door. You injured yourself by picking the doll up.
Well, the weight is as realistic as the skin. Let me just give you that.
Mm-hmm. This was a smaller model because I remember. It came into the studio in a bag.
I think the term that was used is spinner.
I wasn't going to say it, but you're right. That's exactly
it. Didn't have legs, right?
No, it
had legs. I'll send you a picture. I think I still have it on my phone.
All right.
Oh, how nice. Okay. I think I still have it.
So what did Patrick have on my phone?
And so the email reads, "Hey, Rob, I am a winner," because we were saying there's, you know, in the virus, there's winners and losers. And so he's a winner. So fun to hear our doll business mentioned on today's show. I must say, the crazy virus is actually helping my doll biz. I'm turning away orders.
There you go. There's a demand.
Yeah. Is it for private use or is he turning away people that might want to use? Okay, good.
He goes on. Now, also, a little personal update here. Remember, he had a lovely female partner that he brought in with him. Since we saw you last, my business partner, you remember Sarah, and I split up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's okay with me. I remember that. I actually remember. She didn't bring a lot to the table, did she?
No, she didn't.
I don't know that.
There was two things. There was sort of an awkwardness between the two of them, and also remember the story of him selling all of his plans to a Japanese manufacturer who stole them. So he was at a low. It was sort of
the molds. Wasn't she a little prickly?
I believe so, yeah.
Right?
Anyway, he says, nothing was happening in the doll world, and we were getting on each other's nerves, so I figured we'd finalize our orders and call it a day.
But he kept the business.
Well, he shut down the business. He says, I actually got a part-time job at a local ABC store to get me through. The booze business is thriving these days because everyone's staying at home.
The booze business is thriving every day.
That's true.
No matter what. It's the bar business that sucks.
So he says
the booze business is fine. People still want booze. You know,
the booze business is thriving. So he had job security there. That was a given. But when the virus struck, Orders came in from everywhere. 3 exclamation points. I just shipped a piece to Australia.
Is it for individuals primarily that he's selling these things?
He says, he goes on to say, can't make them fast enough. I was trying to quietly walk away from the dolls, but I think I'll ride this wave a bit. So yeah, there's a lot of personal use. Now, but this is also exciting.
But he's not selling them to soap operas.
Well, he says, we had a doll of ours featured on a show on the CW.
There it is. So he is selling them to that.
There you go.
The show is called Supernatural. I've heard of it. I've never watched it. Yeah. And we made a bunch of dolls for a Piranha movie.
Yes! Oh, my God. I wonder if it's the Piranha movie I watched a little of.
Which one?
I think it had Jerry O'Connell in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say no to anything.
Isn't Jerry O'Connell
in it? It's the most recent Piranha movie.
Right? Yeah. Jerry O'Connell and Babes.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, not a lot of substance.
No, not a great story. No, not at all.
Did you see anything that looked like plastic women in this Jerry O'Connell movie?
Well, I think it could be. You certainly could use that. Ask him what Piranha movie.
I'd love to know that. So he says, maybe CBS is next, !!! So maybe the Bold and the Beautiful will get in touch with him. We can hope so. As always, love you guys and love the show. The Friday night cocktail shows are fun to drink along with. Cheers and happy belated Father's Day to you and Mike and Oscar. Get busy. Keep up the funny. Patrick, Private Island Beauties.
Aww. So speaking of that,
we're so happy for him.
We'll throw a plug in that we are going to be doing our TMOS cocktail party tomorrow night. And by the way, then we are taking a well-deserved break for 1 week. And we will be back in a week. That's we're taking a collective summer vacation.
Yes.
Together.
Is anybody going anywhere? Are you going anywhere for a
I was break? Considering going down to visit my dad on the Eastern Shore until yesterday happened that it was one of the biggest spikes in the virus.
Yeah, Virginia went out of their minds,
I don't know any about that. Yeah. Maybe I've been living in
all over the country, not so much Virginia as the other hot spots. I know that Texas. Yeah,
I thought Virginia, Maryland, D.C. I thought they were having down days.
We were steady. I think we were steady, okay. But still, as these spikes happen,
where did the spike happen in regards to your father?
Well, nothing with my father specifically, but you know, if it's starting to spike around the country, why risk it? It's stupid to risk it.
So
it's
you're not planning on traveling down to...
I'm at a coin flip right now. I might go down for a couple days. We'll see. It's hard to say. I mean, I put it in the same category as when I watch TV and I see these people and I think, my God, how important is it for you to go to a restaurant? Why do you really, really need to do this? Why do you need to go out and do this and put yourself and others at risk? It's selfish. And if I were to do it just for a change of scenery, you know, I'd love to see my dad, but I can call him on the phone and talk to him and visit him that way and not put anybody at risk. I don't think it's a really wise
move. You going anywhere, Oscar?
I'm going to a wonderful place called Podcast Village.
Are you going to be working all week?
I got to work.
You're the one that arranged this week. What are you doing? Did you do it for it? This kills me.
Yes.
Because I know nobody appreciates your hard work like I do. But at the same time, we've been going pretty hard here on the old show. But correct. I mean, I think, are you going to get any?
I'll take a week in August and go see my brother in Hyannis.
If you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're able to do that.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
And plus, I'm not going anywhere.
Uncommon that, I mean, it's not uncommon that in the summer in fairness, I look back at our schedule this past year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 2019, we had already taken a week and a half or 2 weeks off individually let's say July.
Right.
We haven't taken a single week off this year.
But it's
solid
a different
the whole
schedule.
Way through.
Yeah. And I think probably people have modified their schedules all over the country. I think that it works that way. It depends on your business and what you're doing.
But also, we felt, in fairness, outside of really not having excuse not to do the show, and we're blessed to have this technology in place and this infrastructure, that we felt like it was important to do the show, especially in the height of the pandemic.
That was part of it. I don't want to give ourselves too much credit. But
I'll give ourselves credit.
That's the way we looked at it. We really didn't speak about it a lot, but it's kind of the way we just did it. And suddenly we're like, hey, you know, I'm tired of you guys. I need a break.
I think the word was crispy.
Crispy is a word that has been bandied about.
So we were going to take the week after the 4th, and then Oscar said because of clients that are going to be on the show. We're going to do it next week. So we will be running some fabulous entertainment programs for you. It should be very, very special. I was going to head north. I don't believe I am.
I was going to ask, what's your reasoning?
You know how it is? Here's how it works. With every day that passes, it becomes less likely. Right now, with school slated to start in August, but I don't know what they're going to do in this state.
Have they said anything?
No, as long as we have Governor Trump running the state, he will behave. He is all in. He is all in no matter what happens. This is a very nervous time for a lot of states that like Florida, Arizona. You're in California now.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Seeing it. We have record cases in certain states. Florida has seen high numbers, record numbers on certain days. And we are nervous because I think that it is a different world down here. But with that said, it is the world that I know how to negotiate. I'm wearing a mask. I don't go out on a regular basis to restaurants, but I could if I wanted to. It's strange. Collier County, which is Naples, Florida, which is one county south of ours, is contemplating a mandatory mask law. And apparently, if they do it, then Lee County will follow because that's the way my county's run. Let's see what they're doing. But, you know, I was thinking about how nervous we are about COVID. And I think one of the problems we have is we're just so damn big. The country is big. Mm. The states are big. And you just get lulled into a false sense of security.
You know what's not big, Mike? The number of ICU beds in hospitals.
Well, that's a small number. I look at that every day. And I look at that, and that to me, let me tell you why it's important to not come out and say, well, there were this many cases, but we've got this many beds available. Because I believe these doctors when they say, well, you're not going to have the ICU bed problem when you have that spike on that day in cases, you're going to have it 4 to 5 weeks down the road.
Correct.
Right.
When things get heavy duty.
What's Florida? So as of yesterday.
Let me go to the.
Arizona is at 80. As of last night, I imagine, because I talked to my friend in Arizona. He said there are 80% capacity for the ICU bed. So they got 20% left, which is the danger zone, right?
That is danger, right.
So, and they're in the middle of their quote-unquote spike, and even maybe a week out for it getting even worse. That scares me. That's what you're talking about. When in Boston,
Arizona's pretty bad, and that's where Trump was this week,
or New York, or New York City, where you ran out of beds and people were dying.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. So it's very.
So Mike,
scary.
Your theory is that basically, if you were to take a trip up to Maine, it would be much the same, but it's like playing an away game. At least you know your opponent in Florida.
Hopefully I'll be able to open this. Wednesday was yet another grim day. This is yesterday. We taped the show on Thursday. Wednesday, this is from the Tampa Bay Times, if you want to know. Wednesday was yet another grim day of shattered records in Tampa Bay and around the state. Florida logged a new record for single-day recorded coronavirus cases. Jesus Christ. Adding 511 infections on Wednesday and bringing the state total to 109,014. Maybe I will be leaving. The previous record was Saturday when the state logged 4,049. Yesterday was the highest ever.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That number doesn't go down either.
Hospitalizations statewide also increased by 251 people on Wednesday, higher than in previous days. The increase in the seventh largest since the pandemic began. Yeah, we're pretty well boned in the state of Florida right now. Let me see. Florida's surge in cases also prompted some states like New York and New Jersey to issue new travel restrictions on visitors coming from our state.
Let me ask, this is not shtick for anybody within our listening audience, and maybe more for Mike, because I worry for anybody that's in these states, right Mike, you drove up 95 when there was a hurricane on the way, just to get out of town, just to protect your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's stopping you from doing? There's a hurricane coming your way.
There.
An invisible hurricane.
It's there.
You have an option.
Yeah, I do. I I don't know. I think that maybe I have to give that some. But, you know, right now and where I've been living, the world I've been living in is my own personal safety with not going out and doing that. And I think I could probably weather the storm with that. But I have to give that some thought. It's oh, by the way, as cases have risen, Governor Ron DeSantis, DeSantis, has emphasized that the median age of those testing positive is trending younger. Let me be clear. The median age trending younger doesn't change the fact that those people go out into the community.
Yes.
God, what is he?
He's
what is
just
wrong
reminding
with
his base, you're okay. You can still vote for me.
And he's also echoing
for another 5 years or four years.
What I'm saying, but I'm talking about the presidential,
Yeah, election, and he also, right? I think that's something that, for some reason, Trump has been beating that drum, too, that the cases are skewing younger. So he repeats
While the bulk of coronavirus deaths are people age 65 and older, younger people have been hospitalized because of the virus. 15% of all the state's coronavirus-related hospitalizations have come from people 25 to 44, according to data from the health department. And when you look at our chart, oh, my God. I mean, we are growing fast in this state. You know, we boned ourselves in the United States when we turned this into a political debate. That's what happened. And you have, if you want to talk about one of the all-time lapdogs for the president, he lives in Tallahassee, Florida. His name is Ron DeSantis because he is trying to please his grandmaster. That's what he's trying to do. And that's where we are. And you know, the answer to your question is, you know, I think that maybe hitting the road. I was nervous about the idea of traveling, too. That's what I, you know, being there and going. But right now, I don't know. I'm gonna wait and see.
Yeah, and I hate to put you in a tough spot. I get it.
I'm sure he's already thinking about it.
I don't know. I'm just, it's one of these, it's literally one of these questions where if you are blessed to have an option.
Right.
And to go to a quote-unquote safer place. Mm-hmm. With less risk, which is technically by the numbers would be Maine, then what's 2 months and really
you're right.
the pain points that come with, it sucks to drive up there. It's just a pain.
I know that also on your mind has got to be.
But what do you got to lose? Like,
you're right.
A factor also has to be, you know, school is coming up. It's less than 2 months away. If it happens, I'm curious, has the school reached out to you? Because I got a very detailed survey from Loudoun County. Robert has one more year in public school, right? He's starting his senior year. And it was, as a parent, what do you think would work? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this?
Yeah,
what is your main concern? But
that's a CYA move on the part of these public schools.
Well, also that says to me they don't have any idea what the plan is going to be when school starts.
Yeah.
Because if they're still mining the opinion, so I don't know if Robert will be going back to school. It's really
he'll have school
thing.
One way or another. It'll be at
of
home.
Of course he will. And I think it will be at home, but it's just an odd thing that we would be this close.
I don't
close
know
and
when
don't
you
know.
Have a world record case load, how you contemplate opening schools up right around August 12th, which is where it would be. I don't see that happening now.
No.
I mean, we're coming up on 2 months away from this. And I just don't see it happening. But I would have also said by this time you would have mandatory masks in the state, and nothing is being changed. Nothing is being changed.
Well,
in
Mike,
the
let's see what Collier County does.
It's weird. It's weird. I mean, I literally opened this up today as we started taping. I have not looked at it. Right. I've become desensitized.
No, we're getting look. This is a real time conversation.
It is
right. The state recorded 44 new deaths. Statewide, 3,377 people have died from the virus. The spike on Wednesday came as New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut announced that travelers from states with spiking infection rates would have to quarantine for 14 days. If I go to Maine and I'm not tested, that's what we'll have to do. We're aware of that. While DeSantis has highlighted that people who are now testing positive are less at risk for critical illness because they tend to be younger, the virus can lead to the death of younger people, too. A 17-year-old in Fort Myers died from COVID-19 on Tuesday, according to news accounts.
Is there no mention in there about the fact that, they might be less at risk, but they're still spreading it?
That's the duh part that I
Why does nobody want to grab onto this?
Right. It says, here's the most 25 to 34. That's the biggest number. That's 12.9%. And then when you talk about the 55 to 64, it's not far behind, 13.4%. This is still a horrible, nasty disaster for public health. And we are in a state that is controlled by people that really don't get it. So that's where we're living. I think Oscar might have made a point. So you you might have a new location for your boy when we come back from our little break.
We're at the ready to make sure we get it going.
So load up the truck and move to Beverly. That's that's crazy. But I listen, we have to get the show out of the way because I'm leaving today to do some doorknob licking. So let's do that. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
We're going to be using aliases on this job. Under no circumstances do I want any one of you to relate to each other by your Christian names. Here are your names. Mr. Brown, Mr. White, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Blue, Mr. Orange, Mr. Pink.
Why am I Mr. Pink?
Because you're a f***ing, all right?
Why can't we pick our own colors?
No way, no way. Tried it once, it doesn't work. You get four guys all fighting over who's going to be Mr. Black. But they don't know each other, so nobody wants to back down. No way. I pick. You're Mr. Pink. Be thankful you're not Mr. Yellow.
Yeah, but Mr. Brown, that's a little too close to Mr. Mr. Pink sounds like Mr. Pussy. How about if I'm Mr. Purple? I mean, that sounds good to me. I'll be Mr. Purple.
You're not Mr. Purple. Some guy on some other job is Mr. Purple. You're Mr. Pink.
Who cares what your name is?
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're Mr. White. You have a cool-sounding name. All right, look, if it's no big deal to be Mr. Pink, you want to trade?
Hey, nobody's trading with anybody. This ain't a goddamn fucking city council meeting, you know. Now listen up, Mr. Pink. There's two ways you can go on this job. My way or the highway. Now what's it gonna be, Mr. Pink?
Jesus Christ, Joe, fucking forget about it. It's beneath me, you know. I'm Mr. Pink. Let's move on.
I'll move on when I feel like it.
Shut up!
This is Wade Byard, the Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Heard in fine municipalities like Pungo, Virginia, Lincoln, Nebraska, the Felony Flats of Spokane, Washington.
Mike, a quick sidebar. I got an email from a guy named Richard. He says, Felony Flats in Spokane is a neighborhood located around the county courthouse, municipal district court, police headquarters, and the jail. So it's the jewel of Spokane. And not only that, Eric Quick says there's a Felony Flats in Portland, Oregon. And Jordan Mata said there's one in Boulder Creek, California.
So is it an area around the courthouse?
I think it is.
Maybe felony, it's like a Leisure World. But
not really like a Leisure World.
No, like there's a crime world.
Yeah, there's no fountain.
Well, there's one in Spokane, so we got that. The Laurel Lakes of Rice Township, Pennsylvania. That sounds lovely, doesn't it?
I like Township. I think Township is always nice.
Welcome to the Laurel Lakes of Rice Township, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania might have the weirdest names of any towns anywhere.
Yeah.
Sproul. Starting with Intercourse. Key West, Florida, London, Ontario, Canada. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Brought to you by Cornerstone. Things are starting to reopen. In much of the country, they are. The opening plans are continuing. There are signs of stabilization in the housing and mortgage market. So it's more important than ever to work with a friend you can trust. And I trust the team at Cornerstone. And Rob Spiewak sent me an email about a TMOS listener. And I wanted to share that email because it was really, really terrific as far as what this individual said about Cornerstone. We've had a lot of TMOS listeners that use Cornerstone, and I lost it. Sorry. I'll do it next time we tell you about Cornerstone.
Mike, it's called a front sell. I love it.
Thank you. Their low-rate guarantee and the fact that they are a lender and a broker allows them to have all the programs available, and a retail bank can't do that. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial today, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Interest rates, can you turn that down just a skosh?
Yeah,
oh, it's the loudest rock song ever recorded, and you don't touch volumes. Jesus Christ. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Interest rates on 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos for the first time ever. Cornerstone First will put your home's value to work for you. We'll come out of this together, and when we do, Cornerstone First will be there. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. Did you turn it all off, or was it still a little bit in the background?
It's there. It's there.
I can't tell with you working.
It
at
is
home.
There. Oh, now it's gone.
All right. Very good.
It is gone.
You know what? Let's do this. I think we need a palate cleanser after all that COVID talk. And in the thought of having the TMOS cocktail party tomorrow, you have been telling me about a summertime cocktail.
Yes.
Now, do you have transition music for, nice music for cocktailing that you might want to play for your little kitchen corner that you want to do here, Rob? I'm just curious. There we go.
Yeah, we can play something. Mike, have you ever heard? This is a Baltimore-invented cocktail, but it involves a drink that you introduced me to.
All right.
And this is from Bon Appetit magazine. As you know, I take their emails.
Bon Appetit.
And
Bon Appetit.
It is called the Spaghetti. And it's Spaghetti. It's like spelled like
Spaghetti?
Yeah, but with no I. And this is from a series called, it's called the, I'm sorry, let me read the headline. It's called Spaghetti. And
can.
It's now my favorite summer cocktail. I ordered this drink based on the name alone. All right. And it says, this is from Highly Recommended, a regular feature in Bon Appetit magazine. It says, the last time I was in Baltimore, I was thirsty, really thirsty. I don't think of Baltimore as a great food town. Do you?
No. There was a Spanish restaurant in Baltimore. I think I remember the name of it that I drove from Annapolis up to Baltimore to go to a place called Tio Pepe.
Ooh,
I think that's what
I like
it was called.
Is that Uncle Peter?
It was really.
I think it's Uncle Dick.
Uncle Peter and Pearl. Rhode Island could beat the crap out of it as well. Uncle Peter. I think that's the. It might still be there. I'll look it up while you're doing your thing.
All right.
Just a quick question is. Is the guy who sold crabs to us, the big pound crabs on the side of the road, is he in Baltimore or is he on the Eastern Shore?
Oh, that's Kaz. He's more up on the Eastern Shore. It's
okay,
not
okay.
a Baltimore.
Okay,
although
okay.
his accent might be, it might favor Charm City.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm. I was like, where was that guy from?
It looks like it's still a restaurant, Restaurante Tio Pepe. Man, oh man, you know what? A great restaurant can stay in my brain forever.
Yeah. Just like a fantastic ex-girlfriend. Like, you just remember them.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, you're like, she was crazy, but it was awesome for like 5 months.
There is since you brought it up, and we'll get to the cocktail in a second here.
It keeps.
When you bring that up, I better be careful here. All right, I have to. I'm a camp counselor. I'm 18 or 19 years old.
Here we go. I like it.
And I only know the first name of this girl, and her name was Lynn.
Ooh.
And she was extremely naughty, like really naughty. And a bunch of us, after camp, went to a watering hole in my hometown.
Yes.
And we were sitting there, and I think it was 3-on-3, one of those big booths where you sit three on a side. And it's like camp counselor, camp counselor, camp counselor, then a guy next to me, and then me, and then Lynn on my right.
Right.
And so as you talk about remembering things.
Yeah.
As and this is not all that naughty.
No, but when you're 19, anything's naughty.
But
it's crazy.
It was a memory because it had never happened to me before. As we're sitting in the booth, she put her hand on my leg and not in the lower part of my leg either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And of course, when you're 18 or 19, that was a memory that I will.
And you sure it was her?
She's touching my quad.
Yeah,
it was. It was a memory where I'm like, and I looked over and And I remember looking over at her, and she was looking at me like this with her eyebrows up. And it was just...
Oh, so she knew what she was doing.
She knew exactly what she was doing. And she was a little older. And it was very 62. Special.
Hi, Carla.
It was very special. I'm sorry. You were bringing up memories, and suddenly...
You know, my
61-year-old, like a lightning bolt right into my brain. Remember that? That's going back a long, long way.
This cocktail, the spaghetti. I'm wondering if the watering hole you're at, is it from the same place? It's called Wet City. Wet City Brewing. Is that the same place you were at? No.
No.
Rob.
But that's the name of the place.
You're so gross. Why could you leave that fun memory there before you went into Grosstown?
Why do you always have to go into fluids? Yeah. Why do you always? What is your sexual deviation where you have to always mention fluids? What is?
Maddie, I want to apologize on behalf of Rob.
Oh,
you must be disgusted.
It's going to be a lot of therapy.
Really? No, the restaurant I was talking about was Tio Pepe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is still very much, very much. You know, alive.
Yeah.
As required by the state of Maryland, we remind our patrons to come wearing the required face covering. Okay, that's
and there's
cool.
Good Italian places somewhere up in Baltimore, I think, too, right? I mean, they've got
Got a Little Italy.
A Little Italy, right? Yeah.
I've been to many restaurants. So, yeah, Baltimore, I think, has a good food scene.
Is it possible I could ask Tio Jimmy to come over tomorrow night and just say hello? Maybe plug his restaurant?
So you mean Todd Moore and Jimmy?
Oh, Jimmy could swing through if he wanted to.
Do you want food? Is that what you're looking for?
Of course, that's what. Yeah.
Do you want Jimmy to cater our cocktail party tomorrow?
There's
night?
Only three people. Cater is a stretch, but maybe if you want to bring something.
If you're asking for
bring
that,
nine wings.
Are you okay with that? I don't want.
I'm okay for whatever you want to do. I don't care. Right, that's fine
that'd
with
be fun.
Me. He came to Rob's house
Maddie?
Once. You
yeah,
know?
He did.
I'd never say no to a chicken wing.
Buffalo girl.
Jimmy? You know, find out. All right, so back to your cocktail. Yeah.
So last time I was in Baltimore, I was really, really thirsty. Really thirsty. So all as right. I perused the happy hour menu at Wet City Brewing, I waited for something extra cold and quenching to catch my eye. I got all the way to the end and I spotted it. For $5, the spaghetti. I ordered it based on its name alone. How could you not? Spaghetti
How's
without
it spelled?
The E. It's spelled spaghetti. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. Yeah.
Spaghetti.
Truly, I'm thankful I did because this cocktail has become my official drink of summer. It's only got three ingredients: Miller High Life, lemon juice, and Aperol.
Ooh.
Aperol.
See, ooh. I thought you would be intrigued by this because last Christmas you had the Aperol Spritz, right?
The Aperol Spritz, I think it was my nephew's wife, Sarah. A mm-hmm. wonderful human being, one of my favorite people in the world, who was walking through my sister's house with a goblet, and mm-hmm. it was bright orange. It was a bright orange, but I was a little thirsty, and I looked at that because Aperol spritzes are not only delicious, but they're super thirst-quenchy. Like, you know, it's an alcoholic beverage that has that thirst-quenching capability. Which,
I actually
did
a little research. What kind of alcohol is Aperol? It's an Italian aperitif, and aperitifs are dry rather than sweet. The alcohol content is 11%, which is about like a bottle of wine, a little less than wine, which is half of its brother drink, Campari. It's often compared to Campari.
Okay. All right. And it's got a bitterness to it.
It has,
and it's orange.
It has a strong orange and mandarin orange flavor with a nice balance between cinchona and gentian bitterness and an easy sugary sweetness.
It's wonderful, and I love what the Italians do with aperitifs because they are really, there's a bitterness that I enjoy with that. Amaro is something I talked about before, and that I like that element in a thirst-quenchy drink. I don't like super sweet. I like to have the bitter notes, but it's still a sweet drink, but
sure.
Miller High Life, it's still,
well, this
you
guy
know,
says it has
I don't
everything.
Like putting ice cubes in beer or anything else.
I don't
in
like
beer.
Altering beer either, but this guy makes a pretty strong case. He says it's fruity, bitter, and just tart enough to lead you back for another sip. It's so straightforward. Here's the recipe. You open a bottle of Miller High Life, Mike, the great taste of beer, it comes in a bottle, and you pour out about 1 ounce, add the lemon juice and the Aperol directly into the bottle, and you're done. You actually serve it in the bottle of Miller High Life. And
could
it
you
is,
use Miller Lite, do you think?
I'm sure you could use any beer. I
bet
think.
You could use Miller Lite. I might try it tomorrow night. I might actually
I like
try that,
that
tomorrow night.
I'll try that tomorrow night. I'll do that. I'll get some Miller and I'll try. That sounds really, you know, since we're sitting here in South Florida on the surface of the effing sun right now.
I will send you the recipe. You'll need fresh lemons, beer, and the Aperol. And he says the secret is the beer has to be as cold as possible. Mm. That's what makes it especially refreshing. But after you described it as a sort of a bitter orange flavor, and I love orange bitters myself, I think this is really possible and really a reason to buy a Miller product for once.
I love that a restaurant that I liked when I was back in my 20s is still very much alive in Baltimore. And so I found the menu for, and they're open, by the way.
Oh,
they're
nice.
They're open. A bit of Spain in Baltimore. Superb restaurant. Let me see. They've got sopas. That's, tell me with that. That's soup, right? That's
soups.
But they say sopas.
Soups up.
Sopas.
Entremeses.
That's what's entremeses? Is that appetizers?
Appetizers, I would guess. Yeah.
Tortillas.
That's a tortilla?
That means omelets. Sandwich.
let me see. It's all Spanish language dishes. Mussels in green sauce, smoked salmon, filet of sole sauteed with bananas and topped with a delicate hollandaise sauce.
Wow.
Juicy filet of grouper marinated in Provençal sauce. Yes. Fresh chicken livers sauteed with cherry sauce with saffron rice, red pepper stuffed with veal, ham, and mushrooms, deboned chicken sauteed in garlic sauce. Oh, my God, it's fantastic. And they do something really good. Let me look at the appetizers.
Do they have a quesarito?
They don't have a quesarito. Where is it? Spanish asparagus, Spanish cured ham, Mediterranean seafood cocktail, shrimp marinated in garlic sauce. That's the stuff.
Ooh,
that's
damn.
The stuff. Fantastic. Tio Pepe, if you ever want to go up there, I think I'll still recommend it, even though it's 30 years that I since I've been there. It's a
made
fantastic
an impact.
Place. And as far as Baltimore's, let me see, I'm trying to think of Baltimore's Little Italy district. They're all pretty good there.
Oh, Little
they're
Italy.
They're all very good restaurants.
I mean, they're known for their food.
And then there's Fell's Point where you can go get drunk.
Yeah, and if you like Polish food, I know there is a place owned by a man named Johnny that is very
good. Yes, Johnny has a place that's very close to, I believe, Larry Flint's Hustler Club, called Polak Johnny's.
Polak Johnny's.
That's the tourism district there.
Let me see. I know we're going to break, and I love this lovely music here. Let me look up Polak Johnny's. Hold on a second. Kill it for just a second.
Okay, stop the music. Stop the music.
Polak. I don't know how to use it. Polak Johnny's.
Right. I don't even know how to spell that word. I think it's J-O-H-N-N-Y.
One of those days where I'm living. All right. Oh, it's a Polak Johnny. P-O-L-O-C-K.
Okay.
That's what happened. Why did I go back to that? Come on. God damn it. All right, here we go.
I don't know. Maybe the website's down.
Let me see. Checking it out right now.
Did you put up the new links yet, Johnny?
Polak Johnny's, a Baltimore tradition since 1921.
Oh, my God.
Exclusive brand. We provide high-quality gourmet products.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And there's a picture. Boy, this looks like a retail site. Where
maybe they have goods now.
Sure.
They have goods. You can buy original Polak Johnny sausages or, you know, the work sauce. That's what you put on your dog. So here it is right now, Polak Johnny's.
Mike, I got a brand new cocktail. You pour out 1 ounce of Natty Bow and add all the work sauce into your beer. And that's called a Polak Johnny's Piquette.
Man.
So you're saying I can order that today and have it sent to my house?
Once upon a time.
Yes.
I swear to God, I am reading from the website. A short story about us. Once upon a time, there lived a poor kid named Johnny.
Oh, no.
He was a true blue Baltimorean who had a natural ability to turn a buck. In the mid-1900s, when John was growing up, the country was fighting World War I, and the economy was lean. He got through the hard time selling shoestrings and gadgets.
Gadgets!
And gadgets, just like Oscar, on the corner of Lexington and Park Avenue. John's nickname was Whitey. Whitey was an incredible... Okay, and it goes on and on.
Well, Mike,
Jesus, what
when we come back, will you give us the story? I mean, this is a thrilling story of a man making in World War I.
Absolutely, and then I'll tell you where the Polack Johnny locations are. So if you're a Baltimorean, let me just say right now, this particular show is all for you. We'll come back with a story of Polack Johnny and where you can get one of his hot dogs right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
In the last few episodes of TMOS, Mike and Rob both celebrated Father's Day, and Drab T-Shirt is having twins. Is Shannon going to press her Oscar for a bun in the oven, or just a working oven in her kitchen? Mike had an intermittent birthday, got a new dog that shows intermittent affection, and has intermittent air conditioning in his house. Will this doom his intermittent fasting? Oscar Santana is a known monster and has single-handedly ruined carny careers. Will Todd Moore be next? Confused? You won't be after this week's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show Cocktail Party.
Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow night. It's going to be great.
Fun.
This portion of The Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Hometics UV Clean. I hate to tell you this, but your phone is 10 times dirtier than a toilet seat. It is a fact. So now more than ever, it's important to keep items like your phone clean because of your... if your iPhone isn't clean, your hands won't be clean either. Oscar's holding up the Hometics UV Clean phone sanitizer. That's how small it is. That's where your phone fits in. There's where you put your phone. I won't do a Baltimore accent. Listen, this is a great product. It kills up to 99.9% of bacteria and viruses at the DNA level using no harmful chemicals or liquids. It sanitizes and disinfects both sides of your phone 10 times faster than other products on the market. It's only 60 seconds. That's how long it takes. Perfect for the busy person, plus your choice of cool colors. Oscar's got the black one. You see that blue light flashing right there. And it isn't just for your phone. You can put your glasses, lipstick, pacifier, keys, credit card, pens, even your computer mouse in UV Clean. You can use it wherever you go. Everyone at TMOS loves it. You're going to love yours. Oscar's been using it for months, and you're a true believer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we got this at the beginning of the pandemic, and it's just the peace of mind of just throwing your phone in there and then knowing it's good to go. It's easy. Priceless.
So easy.
It's a new way of cleaning stuff, and I love it. I've done it with a CPAP machine, and I really look forward. Mine's arriving, I believe, in a couple of days, and I cannot wait. Even with overwhelming demand for UV Clean, Mike O'Mara Show listeners can get free shipping plus $20 off a future HomeEdX purchase. You're going to use this forever. This is great. Just head to getuvclean.com. Use promo code TMOS. That's GETUVCLEAN.com. Use our promo code. You know what? You love it. TMOS. Don't forget, every time you wash your hands, you need to clean your phone too. GetUVCLEAN.com. And that's awesome. And And then, by the way, COVID is a relevant factor with this, but also afterwards, virus.
We're still going to use it. Makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're back to Polack Johnny's, which we have made jokes about forever. And it's just weird. Sometimes you do a deep dive on the internet and you realize here they are. He opened a joint on a notorious block calling it Penny Arcade. It featured the now tame hand crank peep show machine.
Okay, pause just for a moment. Just for a moment. If you're really trying, you're putting out a whole. This is
like
really
an origin story.
An origin story. Do you really want to mention the fact that your sausage was based on a peep show? I don't think
I got to go back. I'm reading. This is a huge bio.
Okay,
Whitey was an incredible opportunist.
Right, as World War One.
As time marched on, he found his way into local carnivals. He set up a booth, created a unique midway game. His games always looked easy to win, and the prizes were better than anyone else's. This always angered some of the seasoned vendors, and they would mumble under their breath. Occasionally, when it got real busy, Whitey would return a nickel or dime extra change, and word quickly spread that he couldn't count change.
Oh, no. How dare they?
When the merchant got word of this, they chanted, "That dumb Polack is going to lose his shirt this weekend." When the weekend finally arrived and the players flooded his stand, the Polack suddenly learned to count.
From that day, he was called Johnny the Pollock and became well-known and respected. He traveled with his show for a while until he began his family. It was time to settle down and set up a home base.
So he started the reputation of
giving back too much change. So he get people. He outsmarted all of them. Mm.
That's brilliant.
That is pretty amazing.
Yes, it is.
So the joint on the block was called the Penny Arcade. It featured the now tame hand crank peep show machine.
Yeah, two like a flip photo card. Booths, yeah.
Uh-huh. three claw machines with naughty novelties, and the popular pinball machines with all the bells, lights, and buzzers. It wasn't long before Johnny began to incorporate his carny background into the arcade. He created a shooting gallery.
What naughty novelties do you suppose were in the claw machine? Because it's like maybe 1930s.
I suppose, maybe.
He created a shooting gallery with a BB rifle to challenge the players to step right up and shoot the star. Johnny the Pollock was content with all the familiar noises, but his arcade was missing something that he couldn't quite put his nose on. Then one magical late afternoon, he plugged in his frying pan to fix himself a hot dog.
Oh, Johnny.
As the fragrance filled the room, it cast a spell on the pinball wizards. When Johnny looked up, his counter was filled with hungry faces. Sure. Alas, he figured what was missing in his arcade, the delicious aroma from carnival food. Needless to say, Johnny sold his lunch and brought the rest of the pack in the next day. When he went through that pack in 5 minutes, he decided to make that his new game, Hot Dogs and Lemonade.
That's a good game.
He decided to specialize in Polish sausage so he could use his nickname. He created our work sauce and scored the Polish title with little cuts. Later, those cuts became our logo, and in 1921, a new sign was being hung at Pollock John.
This is a great American story.
Yeah. I don't know what little cuts are. I have no idea what
they are. Well, I think you score the sausage's skin.
I don't want to go too PC, but Pollock Johnny's not appropriate anymore, right?
Not the name? Probably hasn't not. Hasn't been appropriate in a long time. Yeah.
But it's, he's been featured. I think they're out at Camden Yards, aren't they? Pollock Johnny's?
Are they as popular as Boardwalk Fries?
I'm not quite sure.
In the Maryland area?
Let me see where they are. Let's see if they're
Brashers.
Still. Let's see if they've still got a place on the block. I'm not sure whether they do. All right, so there's Looney's.
Oh, now what's
Looney's
this?
Pub.
I know Looney's.
I don't know if Pollock Johnny's.
Looney's. You know Looney's?
Oh, I've been to Looney's.
Oh, my sure. God. There are tons of locations. Yards. People are thinking we're stupid right now because there are all sorts of.
They want one in Fed Hill as well. I'm not mistaken.
Right, a long time. Right now, people think we're brilliant.
Yeah,
because
they're
doing a deep dive.
Yikes. These guys in Charm City, let me tell you.
This appears
all I know
to me.
Is I cooked a hot dog one day and everyone wanted to buy it. So I sold them.
This appears to me to be the restaurants that serve Pollock Johnny's.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so the licensed actual worst. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an outlet too, so that's exciting.
If you want discounts,
can
sausage.
I order them to my house?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like
you can
see
get
what
them.
That's about.
Yeah, but the problem you have no way to cook
grill.
Them.
I have a grill in the back.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
Well, I got that going for me.
If you start cooking them, Oscar, people will come up and you can sell them.
It's Tio Pepe.
Oscar's not Polish.
It's Tio Pepe in Baltimore and Pollock John. But I don't know. I'm trying to confirm whether they still
the Penny
exist.
Arcade still stands.
Or the place on the in the red light district.
I remember when I think we were at WHFS and I wasn't on air yet. I was a promo guy. And I remember the afternoon jock had an appearance at the Hustler Club. in the red light district. And I was like, well, I
who
guess
had an appearance there?
One the afternoon jock. It might have been Graham or Tim Virgin. I'm not sure who.
Okay.
All right.
And it was just, I remember being that young, being like, wait, we're going to go to a strip club and you're going to make me drive the van and bring all the t-shirts and the free. And for what it's worth, a strip club promo gig is nothing but you making sure that the afternoon talent is happy. That's all it is. Like, what do you want these? Who do you want to give these to? Like, what are you going to
do? Right. Yeah.
There's very little for the disc jockey.
Right. There's very little for the disc jockey to do. And I thank God I never had to do one of those gigs.
I didn't mind them.
The only thing I can compare it to is I was booked a couple times to do appearances for Super Bowls. And it's the worst thing you can do because you don't talk during the game. And if you try to talk during a commercial, everyone boos you because they want to see the commercials. There's nothing for you to do. It's similar to being in a strip club. They're not there to see the afternoon
jog. Not as
bad
as my worst, which was early in my career, Baldwin Service Center. That was the place that sold tractor supplies for tractors, lawnmowers.
Yes.
And the owner, who was prickly and was a prick, came out and said, maybe you should ride around the service center on a tractor.
Yeah.
And, I'm a dirty whore. And I said, I'll do it. And it was riding something like
right.
a guy.
Something fun. I was like, how does this work?
It was fun. But then, I started out and I'm going around and the sales guy's looking at me just going. and I'm sitting there. That's when I really felt like a rube.
Yeah, like you rube.
Yeah, and that wasn't fun. I hated those type of things. And then later on, my career came full circle, where the aforementioned cricket stores, where because that's what you want to do. You want to put an alt rocker, a rocker in the middle of a hip hop nation, go into where Urban Stations are popular, or El Zol is popular, and and have me stand out there and count the one person that came.
Do you listen to classic rock, sir?
Yes. Hi, how are you? rock and rolle classico. it didn't work out, but
I know
our
this,
Baltimore
Mike,
travel.
You did the appearances for the love of the craft, not for the money.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, TV review coming up next, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
We'll do that for you right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Attention shoppers, following CDC guidelines, please allow 6 feet between you and other shoppers. This means 2 shopping carts away from each other, or 2 golden retrievers standing nose to tail, or 1.5 times the size of the late actor Hervé Villechaize. Please follow the arrows down each aisle, or Dirk will call the manager, and it will get ugly. Masks are recommended because breathing is optional. And I shouldn't have to tell you to wash your hands. They're disgusting, you filthy pig.
Screw all that crap. Shop the TMOS Shopping Center at MikeOMaraShow.com. Get what you want through Walmart and Target and have it delivered to your door. It's great if you hate people, and it's social distancing at its best. And change your underwear this week for sakes.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Harry's. Now is not the time to overpay for razors at the drugstore. Harry's knows sometimes it's better to stay inside. That's why they ship directly to you. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. We talk all the time about you can't even know when to change the blades out. But I got a sense for when I change my blade, and the joy of a brand new Harry's blade.
The best.
It's such a great product. That's why they have 10 million people who have tried them. And they're just wonderful. They make their blades in a German factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. And they are above average, way above average. And they're a great deal. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door. You're going to love it on your schedule, with or without a subscription, with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know. They'll give you a full refund. That 1% of proceeds, by the way, are set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to helping provide access to better health care for men and veterans. Our listeners can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. You get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to protect your razor. I love this company.
So
I always have. From the beginning, when they started advertising with us, we love them. Go to harrys.com/TMOS to start shaving better today. All right, Rob and I are on the same page, Oscar, with a television program that just debuted this past week on HBO. And I know why Rob went to it, because it was anything retro. Rob likes anything
old.
Well, no,
actually, it was a total accident. I have,
really?
As a one of the keywords in my DVR, record Perry Mason, because it's on one of those old, I think it's FETV, and they show old TV shows, and I'll watch Perry Mason occasionally, but DVR got confused,
but
and recorded the new one on
you
HBO.
You just said no, and then you explain why that you discovered it, because you are retro. That's the only reason you became aware of a modern television show.
Yeah,
is because of your Perry Mason. I would rather have a needle put in my right nut
than
record Perry Mason,
in their
the
DVR.
Original.
get me Perry Mason anytime it airs.
But there's things I watch for. Yeah, I got to keep an eye out. Perry Mason. Got my finger on the pulse of 1952 America.
Perry Mason in the 50s was a television show starring Raymond Burr.
This is all new to me.
One of my original impressions on the Don and Mike show, Raymond Burr, because Raymond Burr got in trouble there were rumors about
enthusiasms.
A particular sexual fetish that he had.
Oh. Do you know that my mom will still reference a bit you did on the Zoo, Morning Zoo, probably in 1986. She still thinks, because it was Raymond Burr, and I think Don didn't know that you wanted to do the bit, because the way it came off on the air is you literally went, and then you went with a piece of paper, you went, "It's Raymond Burr. I need to come in."
Right.
We're talking.
This is Raymond Burr. This is Raymond. This is a blast from the past. This impression. Raymond Oscar.
I'm looking him up. We're talking about Perry Mason.
We only have a few minutes here, but Perry Mason. Raymond Burr got in trouble, and we had police connections that indicated to us that he liked a particular. I want to make sure that I don't get in trouble here. He had a fetish with. Maybe we should stop there.
I'm sure people can Google it. They'll
Mike,
figure it.
What if you had a pesky cat in your house and you wanted to get rid of it? What would you say?
What would you say?
Get out of here, scat! Get out of here! Go!
Scat. Yeah. Okay, yeah. There it is. So I would come in as Raymond Burr and I would give recipes.
Always wrapped
and
in
like
foil.
Wrapped. Foil, like a sample. This is goddamn funny.
What do
you think about it? This is Raymond Burr. Raymond Burr's Yule log wrapped in foil, and because he liked to do that.
Yes, yes.
So yeah. Perry Mason, the Perry Mason, the new one on HBO, has absolutely nothing to do with the TV show.
So different, so different.
But it is retro. It takes place in the 20s, after World War One, and it is fascinating. It's got John Lithgow. It's snappy.
What's the premise this time? Same premise?
It's based more on the Earl Stanley Gardner book that inspired the TV show. I actually did a little dive here. It's 1932 Los Angeles.
It's 32.
He is a defense attorney, but he's sort of down and out and a little sleazy. So he's doing his own investigating work.
Private eye work.
Yeah, and I'm guessing this has to be from the book. He lives on a farm, which is weird.
Mm. Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Totally weird. And he's very depressed. And he's a very mopey character, but the crime stuff is really, really good. And it packed a lot of drama into, including a horrible murder of a baby that was kidnapped.
Oh, no.
If that doesn't get your attention for bad guys. And that's where we are with it, right? It's only been one episode so far.
One episode, and I think the baby murder, that's going to be the arc of the whole season.
I think so, yeah.
When he investigated that fat comedian, I think his name, like Chubby Chesterton or something was his name, obviously based on the scandal of a real comic.
Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh, wow.
Which is very similar. So the period flavor is really strong. And again, like that show Hollywood that was on Netflix, it's got an amazing cinematic quality to it. Cool. It really looks like a motion picture.
So,
and they really do a great job.
We always like to give you our TV recos. So Perry Mason, it's on HBO. Easy. They're promoting the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
Did they touch on his, you know.
His, no.
No, no.
That was that. By the way, that was not the character. I think that was the actor himself. This
Are you
is
sure?
Raymond Burr.
With Della Street?
No. Make sure you, this is, I'm Raymond Burr. Here's my recipe for fudge brownies.
Always in foil, Mike. Always in foil.
Yes, take them, send them to a friend wrapped in a foil so nothing can get out.
I was 14 years old, and I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life.
This is Raymond. Yes. Here's a delicious fudge treat fresh from my oven.
Oven!
All right, there we go. We'll take a break, come back with news you may not need right here on the Michael Mara Show. Oh, God.
Imagine a cocktail party, but not just any cocktail party. One that stretches from coast to coast.
Okay.
It's a TMOS cocktail party. This Friday at 7 on the east and 4 on the left. And all you have to do is kick back, relax, and enjoy your favorite libation. You could have a martini with Mike, limoncello with Lena, a vodka with Veronica, or champagne with Shannon. How about a rascal with Robin, a yellow hurricane with Yaz and John, or a tabula rasa with Trip? No, this isn't a place to nosh on fabulous fruit fritters. It's a way for you to wind down for the week and get your drink on. So come for the fun this Friday live on Facebook or at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Everybody gonna get it.
Love you, Jim Amato. That's a wonderful promo. Thank you so much for doing that for us. We appreciate it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Facebook Stars. Stars. They're just like us. Andy Richter is remarkably double-jointed. Surprisingly, later in life, Bill Cullen dabbled in polyamory. And Savannah Guthrie is defending her on-air broadcast from home. Is what?
Her on-air broadcast from home hairstyle.
Oh, how dare you.
And Savannah Guthrie is defending her on-air broadcast from home hairstyle after a critic called it distracting and unkempt. And I agree.
Yeah.
What do you want her to do? She can't get her hair done.
Figure it out, for Christ's sake. Come on.
I completely disagree.
TV ready. Camera ready. Guthrie said, quote, "This is 2020. Can we please ignore my hair and instead focus on my inabilities as a broadcaster?" Then she lost her place, laughed at the wrong time, and spilled her latte. Oh, Savannah.
Oh,
good one, Rob.
Funny.
Those are showbiz stars. Frankly, we love Facebook stars. It's a super easy way to support TMOS while you're watching us on Facebook Live. I've never checked in with you. How we do with Facebook stars? How have we done since we started this little campaign there,
tomorrow
Oscar?
Tomorrow is a great day. Tomorrow, when we do the wonderful cocktail hour, for people to make up for what they haven't done during the weeks.
Okay, very good. Yeah, please. That tells me all I need to know. All right.
hey. It's important that they click the star and play along.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
News.
Thank you very much. All right. Anyway.
News.
Like everybody. Hey. We're getting baseball back in about a month, but obviously there will be changes, and a lot of my sports fan buddies down here roll their eyes when I talk about baseball. One of the proposed changes is getting ridiculed all over social media. Oscar, you brought this to the show a while back, but I will tell you... Okay. Thank you. Turn it down.
Yes.
The idea of it can't really be overstated how baseball's kind of punted it during this. All
horrible.
Right? So here's one of their wonderful ideas. This is just so...
It's disappointing.
They don't get it. Well, there's this new thing in baseball. They're calling it the wet rag rule. And it states that a pitcher can keep a wet rag in his back pocket as an alternative to constantly licking his fingers when he's on the mound. This is the kind of stuff... where you just don't have guidance from the top, all right? No, that's it. We're not going to do that.
What about chewing tobacco? They stopped that, right?
Right.
Now what are they chewing? Can you have big league chew? Who knows?
Big league chew. Fans and players alike are having a good laugh over that, the rag. Former relief pitcher Jeff Nelson said, quote, "Good luck, hitters. Water won't be the only thing on that rag."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to doctor the baseball.
Pine tar.
Of course.
A Braves writer named Scott Coleman said, quote, "Thankfully, baseball doesn't have a cheating problem."
That's the quote of the week right there.
And one guy asked, quote, "Does sweaty fingers touching a ball transmit less germs than a licked finger? I'm not a doctor, but sounds exactly the same to me." Baseball doesn't get it.
Mm. They don't.
They haven't gotten it from the beginning, but, you know, I'll still look in when they start.
Yeah. Sure, we'll forget about it and keep moving.
Here's an interesting story. Coming to Hollywood as a teenager taught Reese Witherspoon a lot, like what homosexuality is.
Oh.
She says, quote, "No one spoke to me about sexuality when I was a teenager. I didn't understand what homosexuality was. My grandparents didn't explain it. My parents didn't explain it. I had to learn it from somebody I met on an audition in L.A.
Wow.
Reese says it. She went back home to Tennessee and told her grandmother about that conversation. And she told Reese, quote, "Homosexuality is very rare, Reese. That's not a thing that happens very often."
Wow, grandma.
She actually used that talk with her grandmother for a scene in in Little Fires Everywhere.
Wow.
I remember that that wonderful show. On the show, Reese plays a mom who's struggling to accept her daughter's attraction to girls, and that was just a brilliant piece. If you haven't seen Little Fires Everywhere, watch it out. And I'm a big Reese Witherspoon fan.
She's great.
That's just fascinating. And, you know, it's funny because she did play that innocent character, and if you want to see another classic, one of my all-time, probably in my top 10, one of my favorite movies is Election.
Great
with
movie.
Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon. It's fantastic.
You know, I didn't know about alcoholism until I got a job in radio.
That's very exciting. Yeah, you are a quick study.
Thank you.
A new science.
I use it in my work.
There you go. A new science fiction movie called Bee will be the first film to rely on an artificially intelligent actor. We were talking about the Love Dolls before. The movie follows, quote, a scientist who discovers dangers associated with a program he created to perfect human DNA and helps the artificially intelligent woman he designed escape. The woman will be played by Erica, an actual AI robot. Her creators taught her that the craft of acting, that's apparently in real life, by applying principles of method acting to AI. One of them says, quote, Erica has no life experiences. She was created from scratch to play the role.
Oh,
this is kind of weird. We had to simulate her motions and emotions through one-on-one sessions, such as controlling the speed of her movements, talking through her feelings, and coaching character development and body language. So this movie is going to be called Bee. I looked at, I think it was on Instagram, where there was a robot there. I don't know how sophisticated. It was not a movie clip. If it was a movie clip, they might want to call Tanner Cooley, because that's the look that it
what
had.
About Ex right? Machina? This sounds like a low-budget Ex Machina.
Low budget might be the buzzword here. But as I said, I could have been looking at a behind-the-scenes thing, but it's called B. Look for it in theaters maybe in the next 5 years.
I'll go see the sequel, Two Bees.
All right, we're in the mosquito season. In Maine, we have terrible mosquito problems up in Maine.
Oh, no.
Down here, you get them. Bugs are out. It's summertime. Some people get bitten by mosquitoes more than others, and there are actually reasons for it. So as we get into summer and spend more time outside, here are six possible reasons. What's going on, guys? Do a little show. That's all. Little show here. Don't worry about it.
Was that your family or was that mosquitoes?
The dog.
Oh, puppy dog.
Oh, Homer.
The new one.
Homer.
So if I want to whine because I'm in a crate, I'll whine because I'm in a crate.
Don't.
here are six possible reasons. Oscar, you love it. I'll do it as long
Thank
as you,
you.
Want
I'll
me to do it.
Yeah,
I will do that bit forever. That's fine, Homer. Joe, I see that my loved ones are home, and Mike. Here are the reasons they love you. One, your body temperature. Two, exercise. It raises your body temperature. They like that, too.
Okay.
Three, you're stressed out. Study have shown mosquitoes could be drawn to the hormones that come out in your sweat. Number four, you haven't showered in a while. If you're gamey, they're attracted to a specific type of bacteria. Dark clothing.
Huh.
So, fat guys, beware. reds, blacks, and blues. Hi. No mosquitoes for me, Winslow. All right. Alcohol. Oh, my God. Rob, you get bitten by mosquitoes
all
when you
time.
Go to your father's
this
place.
Is, like, yeah, but the thing is the exercise thing. That's the outlier.
So you think if you can drink but not exercise, you'll be okay.
They should cancel each other out.
Well, if you go to your dad's place, check it out. So do you think it's harder or easier to call in sick when you're working from home? According to a new survey, 52% of us have faked a sick day before. Show of hands, how many of us have faked a sick day?
Not for work.
It's hard for this type of business because you'll get busted in a heartbeat, especially in the age of social media.
I was just stretching. I was just stretching.
In the age of social media.
Yeah.
Like if you're sick and you're posting and
No, this is
shooting selfies.
How many of us have I was asking the question, faked a sick day ever in their entire
well,
career?
Well, for school, yeah.
Of course.
No, I'm talking about
work?
My career.
Can't,
work.
No, can't I can't. I don't
have,
think so
can't
for
say
work.
Well, goody for you two, okay? You try looking at him 5 days a week. All right. Sorry about that. The top reasons we call in sick when we're not actually sick are to take a mental health day. If I'm going to take a mental health day, I take a mental health day.
Right.
Yes. That doesn't count. We're not sick. Let me see. Go to a doctor's appointment. We're too tired to work. The top reasons we call in sick. Here are a few more stats on faking a sick day. Monday is the most popular day of the week to call in sick when you're not. And a third of us have used sick days after a holiday. On average, we give our boss a heads up 6 hours before work starts. But 3% of us have called in sick after they were supposed to be there.
That would be the tell.
Number three, calling on the phone is still the most popular way to do it, followed by texting, I think, with Ferris Bueller's day off.
Hello.
The state with the most people who've taken a fake sick day? Connecticut.
Oh.
There you go.
Get into
New Hampshire, behind them New Jersey, Kansas, and Kentucky, and people in Wisconsin, Utah, and Minnesota do it the least. So Wisconsin, Utah, and Minnesota, great. Not a lot of sick days taken, fake ones. Connecticut, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Kansas, and Kentucky, they're the ones where people call out sick a lot, which is
when I was in school and I was at Safeway, I was coming down off of a flu, and I had to miss Friday at work, called in sick, but then worked Saturday, Sunday at a weekend job. And the manager was so sure that I faked it, he said, I need a doctor's note. And I said, but I'm back. He said, I need a doctor's note. He made me go to health services on Monday to get a note that said, yes, he could have been sick 3 days ago.
Wow.
Power trip, bastard. I would say, at that point.
Yeah.
How dare he?
Yeah, that's
to report
that's,
him.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, not for that. It was the inappropriate touching.
Okay. And now a little something.
I'll sit on my knee.
30s. Get ready. Oh, by the way, I would like to preface this by saying, hack joke on the way.
Oh, good. Okay. I love it.
Sometimes, I'm not kidding you, sometimes I'll sit there for 25, 30 minutes just trying to, couldn't get there, had to give you a hack joke.
We'll take it.
And
we'll
then
take it.
My wife laughed at it, so I kept it in.
That's good.
37-year-old Robert Ibarra decided to make pizza at 3 in the morning on Tuesday while his girlfriend was sleeping on their couch at their home in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Florida, huh? Yeah.
Her name is Becky Bartlett. Hey, I wonder if Becky Bartlett's ever been to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, because she could drive by Whitehall Inn and Becky Bartlett could enjoy some of Whitehall's fruit fritters.
Yum.
Becky's 32. Not clear what set her off, but they've been arguing all night. And when she woke up and found out he was making pizza without her, she flipped out.
She was
pissed. She walked to the oven, pulled the pizza out, and threw it at Robert and burned his hand. Police showed up and saw the burn along with some pizza sauce on his pant leg, and they arrested Becky for domestic battery. Then they ran Robert's name and found out he was wanted in Colorado for selling drugs.
Oh, no.
So they arrested him, too. Becky's already out of jail, but they're holding Robert without bond, and he's probably looking at serious jail time.
Man.
But he sure isn't looking at extra cheese. Am I right, ladies? That's all. Yes, it was stupid.
I'm sorry.
You all saved it.
Extra
you
cheese?
Saved it with Am I Right, Ladies?
That Am I Right,
it.
Ladies?
Yeah, that fixed it. Sometimes Mike do this, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but he won't be looking at a stuffed crust anytime soon. We'll take a break and come up with the audio vault next with Rob Spiewak. Kings.
Larry.
And now, here's Larry.
I'm out of ice again. The best breakfast hasn't been invented yet. Whoa, roller skating. That noise. Lee Majors, good guy. You can't put the alphabet in numerical order. If condiments were a game, mustard beats ketchup always. The TMOS bonus show is what you need. Sure, boy. Subscribe today at MikeOmeraShow.com. Big funny, small money. You can't miss.
Bonuses. We're doing a bonus show tomorrow night.
Yes.
This is the 12 one. You recycling the 12 bonus package?
12.
What do you mean? No, well, this is a new copy.
Oh, let's talk. I thought we were doing the same one we did yesterday. Rob's hitting the 12 music. 12 is amazing. There are 12. Here we are. There are 12 ribs in the human body. I just thought you were doing the same one.
It's a template.
There are 12 ribs in the human body. 12 signs in the zodiac. 12 men have walked on the moon. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
12 is the largest number with only one syllable. Many methamphetamine enthusiasts have 12 teeth.
This is a fact.
And this Friday, it's the 12th TMOS cocktail party. That's a dozen, cousin. All the guys, all the wives, noted Florida zealot Todd Moore, and good booze.
Boo!
Yes, the bonus show is better than ever, so grab your favorite potent potable and jump in with us. It live streams for free following Friday's 7 p.m. show, but then the paywall, baby. So you got to subscribe to the 6th uncensored episode of TMOS and do it every week. You will be entertained. Just click the banner at MikeOmeraShow.com. Also, 12. There are nearly 500 other commercial-free, uncensored bonus shows available to you for just pennies a day. And a subscription just might cure your hangnails. All 12 of them. It couldn't hurt. It's your passport to the Asport. Copyright 2020 TMOS. I'm Mike O'Mara. I guarantee it. And now back to Three's Company, already in progress. Open up the audio vault. We're running out of time. I just, guess what I just lost?
Oh. You lost the audio vault? Oh, no!
Yeah.
I think, hold on. Give me one second. I have it.
Now we can't move on.
No, we got him.
Well, I mean, otherwise the sounds won't get out.
They'll leak out. And the air conditioning gets out, too.
There we go. There's your vault.
I'll need you to send that to me after the show.
I love
my soundboard.
Mike, I love when powerful people act like toddlers. And I had to actually print out the setup for this. This happened in Congress yesterday. Former Deputy Attorney General Donald Ayer. A-Y-E-R, testified in Congress yesterday, and he was criticizing Attorney General William Barr. His opening statement went really long, so House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler let him keep going, which angered Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, who started feverishly tapping his ring just to be a problem. So here is on the congressional floor yesterday. Listen to this exchange.
Is it on the floor or is it in a committee room? It's probably a committee hearing. It's probably a committee hearing.
They were vague here, but listen to him tapping his ring. He's a toddler.
But to me, Barr's crowning dishonesty is the portrait of Edward Levy that a recent New York Times article showed hanging on the wall of his conference room.
Regular order. The witness will conclude.
Regular order's right. We're way beyond regular order.
What?
The witness will continue.
Can I have one more sentence here?
By all means.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that the sergeant at arms be called upon to stop the disruption of this meeting.
He's way beyond.
And if there are no rules about when people can talk, there's no rules about when you can make noise.
You guys voted for that. So congratulations.
Unbelievable. Wow.
You know, I don't think we all just have to do our jobs. Like, everyone's accountable.
Yeah.
Like, how are these people not held accountable?
I don't know. I think that he shouldn't be allowed to wear jewelry.
By the way, who still wears their class ring?
Yeah. That's
like,
right.
Come on.
Only when VCU makes it to the Elite Eight. That's when I get it out.
Yep. Whip it out, baby.
Whip it out. Okay, I have been a fan of the Muppets since the Muppets began. I was a Sesame Street baby. I love all their product, love the Muppet Show, love their movies. But I'm troubled because they dropped a trailer on Disney Plus for a new Muppet Show called Muppets Now. And it looks like a good idea because they're going to bring stars in and they're going to actually do improv. It's the first unscripted Muppets venture.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of a neat idea. But Mike, you're going to have the same problem I think I did. Kermit's voice is wrong now.
Oh, no, that's not a hard voice to do.
I know. Listen to the. I mean,
it's not easy being green.
They've had a couple since Jim Henson passed, but this doesn't sound right to me.
A Disney Plus announcement with Kermit the Frog and Joe from Legal. Wait, what? The Muppets are creating an incredible new show for
Disney Plus.
He's not
working it.
Hi.
He's lazy.
He's doing Kermit lazy.
Oh, wait. Is it Kermit from home because of COVID-19? Is he just like talking into like his USB mic?
He has it right there for a second, and then he flies out of it.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's not right.
Be wild and funny. And it's going to feature some new friends. Friends like...
No details about celebrity guests.
I was just going to show everyone.
Whoa, over my dead legal briefs.
It's a bunch of radio voices.
Yeah, it really bothered me. It really bothered me because I'm a Muppet guy and
punted.
Do the voices right, please. Mm. Please.
Well, you know, in fairness to all those guys, I do a Kermit impression, but you know what? It's still an impression. And the originals, like Mel Blanc, Looney Tunes couldn't do it, you know?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
By the way, my son's love of Looney Tunes is one of my greatest joys. Sylvester the Cat, I don't know if you ever saw the one where Sylvester's taken by the little girl who just abuses the hell out of the cat.
Abuses him and loves him.
Fantastic. Oh, my. Anytime where they're trying to get away, it reminds me of Winslow.
And Mike, you know, one of the great Muppet voices of all time, Frank Oz, was also the voice of Yoda. And so I actually happened on this. There was an amazing Star Wars merchandise auction. I don't have any Star Wars toys that I kept. I kept a lot of stuff. I don't have any Star Wars stuff. The stuff is amazingly collectible.
An extremely rare Star Wars action figure has gone up for auction and is expected to sell for more than $225,000. Apparently, it's an intricately sculpted figure of a female audience member.
I like the mysticism. Answer me these questions three. That's hello your dear. Magic audio ball. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
See, that was seamless. Fantastic. We can do that. Well done. Yeah, that's a sound I need. I need
that
door.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, because if you don't have it, the sounds get out and they get stale.
Terrible. all right, so don't forget, we will see you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Eastern time. Oscar says you need to try harder with the Facebook stars.
Please.
Kind of a little fundraiser we do when we bring everybody in, you know? In many cases, the wives are bussed in from out of town. So be aware of that, and we will be here with another episode of TMOS and the bonus show afterwards, and cocktails, and Todd Moore, and hopefully, for Oscar's sake, Jimmy, bringing some food. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, I'm Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So what do you want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket?
I'm a phony, just like you.
Bye-bye.